So we are gonna go. Gonna hop in an Uber, go up to Phil's, and then got a show tonight. I think by the time you probably hear this podcast, it's gonna be divided up. Oh my God, how are you doing? Did I tell you that I'm in a yacht rock band?
No.
This is what it's called. It's called Yachtly Crew. We're playing in Long Beach tonight. And we just have so much fun. It's all love songs, 70s and 80s love songs. It's just beautiful and awesome. Is there anything you'd like to promote real quick? I'm going to go interview my Uber driver. I got to...
No, I don't have anything. Me?
Yeah.
Can't promote. I'm a hairdresser.
Ooh, oh. Where can people find you?
Hair Zoo Encino. I do men's cuts. I love a specialty in men's cuts. That's pretty much it. I love what I do.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
You look great.
Why, thank you. You look great. I like your Beatles shirt.
Thank you.
So let me know when you're available sometime so we can...
I finally went to that NoHo diner.
You did?
I went like 4 times what? In a row.
Yeah. It's a cool place, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that place. I just love going there. And it's just like the ambiance there and having up all the photos in there. There's just like...
Really good.
Oh my God. It just has such great vibes there, doesn't it?
Okay.
All right, thank you. You too. Take care. There we go. I think we got it. Here we go. Oh, geez. Wait. Oh, sorry. I thought you were my Uber. Sorry. Oh, my God. I just nearly got into these people's car. Holy shit. Where is that Uber? Oh, is this? This is them. Oh, my God. What a funny. Wow. Hey, how you doing, man? I accidentally... did you see me try to open up that car over there? I thought that was you. There's a car parked over there, and I went over to open up the door, and there was a guy in there, and he looked at me so startled, like I was trying to carjack the car, and he looked up at me. He had those eyes like, what, who is that guy? And I'm like, wait, maybe you're not the Uber. And so I, you know, did one of these, put up my hands like, oh, okay, you're not the Uber. So, oh my gosh, that was awesome. That's a total start of like a crazy movie right there, right? Some guy who gets into the wrong car thinking it's his Uber and turns out in this crazy adventure that he never expected. Holy cow, you never know what kind of imagination is gonna pop out at you from various locations. Holy moly, man. Wow, so how's the day going so far?
Pretty good, you're my first ride.
Oh, I'm your first ride, wow, what an honor. What time did you start working today?
Like 11:30.
11:30.
And then I started working in the center. End up over here.
And then how long are your shifts usually? Like how long do you drive?
I drive from today until 1. Then I get a lunch. Probably start again around 3.
So do you have sort of a method that you go through every day? Like, okay, these are the times I drive, these are the times I take off, or do you mix it up? Or
it's let's say I have to start 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finish around 12.
Wow.
If I don't start at 5:30 in the morning, I don't know, I feel like my day is not the same.
I love the morning too. I always love the morning, and I love trying to wake up. Usually my cats are meowing to get fed because, you know, the sun is coming through. It's like chickens squawking in the morning, like, you know, the sun is up, it's time to eat. And so, you know, it's great to, like, start the day off and because it feels like the day is extended, you know. Already it feels like time flies. So if you can really extend that morning as long as you can. So you're out there in about 5:30 a.m. until, what, 12?
You said?
Wow, man. How long have you been doing Uber?
Like 2 years.
And what kind of benefits do you see so far? What kind of cool stuff have you experienced?
Well, it's right here in LA. I started in Sacramento.
Mm.
Because I used to live right there.
Can I turn this down a little bit just so I can hear you better?
Sure. And well, right here in LA, it's like everybody is like in a rush all the time.
Mm.
They're not like... They're always on their phones.
Are people a lot more laid back in Sacramento, would you say? Or what do you notice with the differences?
The people in Sacramento are like more friendly.
Oh, really?
For a conversation. Yeah, and people right here, like, they're always on the phone or chatting, making calls.
Oh, right, right. So what, I mean, what are some strange experiences you've come across so far?
Nothing strange, actually. Just, like, a good conversation, that's all.
Good conversations? So you come across a lot of good conversations?
Yeah.
Have you ever had any costume characters in your car before? Anyone show up, you know, looking, like, on Halloween, perhaps? Or, you know, maybe you're driving around someone who looks like Superman and someone else who looks like, I don't know, a Twinkie or something?
No,
you've never... driven around costume people?
No, not even for Halloween, you know?
You know, I just thought that'd be kind of a funny kind of thing for, you know, because some Uber drivers do different things to kind of entice people to want to, you know, is there a way to actually order or like a way to get you as a specific
no.
Uber driver? Oh, there isn't? No. Oh, okay.
It's random.
But, you know, some of these Uber drivers, they do various things, and I was thinking how funny that would be. I just had this flash of insight of, like, an Uber driver who's driving the car, and he's dressed like a superhero, and the car kind of looks like a sports car, you know? Yeah. So it's like, your Uber driver is a superhero, and he will drive you to where you go. It's like, that's his superpower, driving you to where you need to go. That would actually be pretty cool. Yeah. Superman. Ooh, Superman. That could be pretty cool. Superman. That's great, because Uber already means super in German. So you stick both of them together like a fractal. Superman. Oh, that's great. Superman. So what are some of your hobbies? What kind of things do you like to do outside of driving Uber?
Well, I like to play guitar.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. If not, right now I'm trying to build a podcast.
You're building a podcast?
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, dude, you came to the right place, because I'm just going to let you know, I hope it's all right with you, but I've been recording our conversation, because I have my own podcast. You're on my podcast
now.
Yeah, cool. So look at this. I have this little tiny microphone. I just like to record the conversations with the people that, you know, that I meet all day, because what happens is this is an archive for my future self. All of what happens here, I'm recording it, and it's all, and I put it on the podcast, but it's for my future self, so he can look back on what his younger self did through his years, you know, and the people that he met, and it's so much fun. It's so much fun, and it's addictive. I gotta tell you, it's addictive. And there's an app called, okay, do you have a piece of paper or a pen or anything? I'm gonna write down some information for you.
No.
Okay. All right, let's see. Hold on a second. Let's see if I can text this to you, right? Right,
yeah,
now,
sure.
Through the app?
No, you can
through
my normal phone.
Wait, hold on a second. Let's go like this. All right. Anchor. Oh, wait. All right. If you're already picking me up, it already... Oh, gosh. So you don't have a pen, huh?
No. I should have one.
All right, here, how about this? You can
use my...
Here's this what I'll do. Here, just type right here. Type your phone number right into there. You don't even have to say it out loud, because this is recording right now. So just type it into there. And what I'll do is I will text you, because this app, it's called Anchor.
Okay.
It's free. This is what's beautiful about this podcast. I can't stop talking about this podcast. I absolutely love it so much. It's changed my life. It's made me more creative. It's broken down these, you know, it's enabled me to get more, to know more about people out there in the world. Oh, good. So what I'll do is anchor.fm. And that's the, and so the name of my podcast is Inspirado Projecto. So you bam. So there you go. Bam. So what's so crazy is it's a free app. You simply record through your phone,
Yeah.
Wherever you're at, however you're at. You know, some people use a studio, some people use a very special microphone. I'm doing the most basic kind of lazy man version I can even think of, because I'm more concerned about the process than I am about a specific outcome. You know, yes, I'm concerned about the intention, but I'm really documenting. Oh, yes, forgot to tell you, that's the street we should turn on. So sorry. This is a weird thing here, but anyway, that's the street. So by me recording this documentation, people can follow the evolution from when I have an idea and as to when I execute that idea, when I actually bring that idea to fruition. So people get to meet the interesting people that I meet throughout each day. They're going on a journey with me. We're going together. You know, everybody's going together. And so, and they can interact with the podcast. They send me emails with their audio, you know, so I'll put either their music on there. So that's what's curious too. If you have any links to your music, send those to me. I'll play them on the podcast. You know, it's so much fun, because on Anchor, what they do is they distribute it to 13 different places. iTunes, TuneIn, Overcast, Player FM, Google Play, Google Podcasts, so many things. TuneIn, Spotify.
Okay.
It, wow. All for free. That's... All for free. And it's like, it's such, and then now they started doing these sponsors. So now you can record sponsored things in there. And now you can actually start generating revenue for your podcast. So like every 1,000 listens, you get, you know, maybe $10 for each 1,000 listens.
Okay,
so, oh man, it's so much fun. And it's just a perfect, even if you've never done a podcast before and you don't know where to start, start there. You know, that's exactly where you start. Just simply start talking about the knowledge that you have about anything you know. And it's guaranteed to either strike a chord with someone who already knows about that knowledge, and or also entice someone who's never heard of that kind of thing before to now be acquainted with it. And, oh, man, it's just so, so exciting. Oh, yeah, turn right here. Oh, no, wait, what am I doing? No, sorry, keep going. So sorry. Oh, yeah, this is the street. Oh, yeah, we came in backwards. That's what it was. So, oh, yeah, this way. Yeah, that's right. Thank you so much for this ride. So, oh, yeah, so I just texted you, name of the show. Podcast, of course. See, my show also is about synchronicities. It's all about these magical moments like this. Oh yeah, stop right here. It's about these kinds of magical moments, these kind of cosmic moments in time where it's like, dude, of course you're into podcasts, of course you're into music. It's perfect. Also, if you happen to like going to see live music, I'm in a band called Yachtly Crew. That's where I'm going tonight. We're playing in Long Beach called Gas Lamp. But we play all over the place. It's so much fun. We have a lot of fun. And we'd love to see you out there sometime. So, what's your name?
Juan.
Juan. Is there any special way that you'd like to promote any of your stuff right now to the at-home listeners?
Actually, I'm just starting. I'm trying to build the stuff, you know, and buying, like, things. I just got a computer right now.
That's great. So if you...
And for the music, it's... I'm not from here. I'm from Ecuador.
You're from where?
Ecuador.
Oh, okay.
So I used to play in a band right there. So,
what was your band?
My band, it's like a rock band, but we played music in Spanish. So I've been talking with some of the musicians, so we're trying to record some music from here to send over there. So, because the drummer is right now is living in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
So the lead guitar, he's living in Ecuador. I'm the second guitar, so I'm living in L.A.
Oh.
So what we're trying to do is connect everything, you know, using
right.
the technology. And, you know, I'm going to record my guitar right here. I'm going to send you. He's going to record the drums.
Perfect.
And trying to make
especially
it all
now
together.
With, like, GarageBand, you know, that's an app that's free. And so if anybody who has that app, they can share that file with each other and lay things on there.
So,
and, oh,
yeah,
this is so cool,
we're
man.
We're trying to build something just for fun, because I think, we are too old to try to pursue a music career right
no,
now.
No, man, you're never too old. Trust me, you're never too old. It's really... The time, now that you're inspired and you're talking about this right now, this is the perfect time to, you know, let that momentum take you. It's so exciting. Let it kind of carry you along, you know? It's cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you'll come across a lot of interesting discoveries. Thank you so much for... Thanks so much for the great conversation and, you know, great luck to you and all your endeavors.
Take care.
Take care. Bye. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Wow. Okay, so please explain to us, Philip Daniel, aka Philly Ocean from Yachtly Crew, is going to explain to us some of his knowledge about the Disney rabbit hole that I've never heard about until now.
Oh, I was just mentioning it to you, Kurt, because I thought you would get a really big kick out of everything that, you know, Walt Disney created and where he came from. And, you know, he was kind of a pioneer in his field of animation. And a couple of my favorite stories about Walt Disney, he basically invented the theme park. He was the first person to go like, okay, I'm going to create a theme park where people go to, and I'm going to create this entire world based on my legacy, my animations, my films, you know, my cartoons. And he did it because, so when Walt Disney was growing up, his family was so poor that he had to go to work at a very young age. And he kind of missed out on his childhood in a lot of ways. And so, you know, the more successful he became, he kind of wanted to create a place for children to feel safe and happy and to have an imagination and you know, to experience the kind of the wonder of life and all this stuff. So that's what his whole empire was basically built around. He was obsessed with trains, which is a common interest that I share with him. He built a miniature steam engine train around his entire property. And when he built Disneyland, one of the things that he was adamant about having was a Disneyland Railroad, which is why they have steam engines that go around
Dude,
the park.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And the reason for that is that he had fond memories of the train going through the small town in which he grew up. He had incredibly fond memories of the train, and he had a connection to the train being able to take him to faraway lands and adventures, and it also kind of became a symbol of, like, him getting out of the circumstances that he grew up in his early life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's basically incorporating these elements that have brought him joy throughout his childhood and bringing those spirits into Disneyland, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. And I love that idea of, like, train of thought, you know, imagination, you know, because a train could actually go anywhere. And for a little kid,
yeah,
that imagination is endless as to where that could possibly be going. And yeah. So cool he wanted to incorporate that.
Yep. He was, he created the first feature-length animated film, which was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. No one had ever done a feature film. A feature-length animated film up until that point. And he was also really committed to legitimizing the art form of animation, because it was actually looked... It was actually kind of looked down on. It was kind of bastardized in the film industry. It was seen as, you know, just stuff for kids. And it wasn't taken seriously. And Walt Disney so believed in animation and the power of animation that he wanted to see it legitimized. So he did everything he could to get an Oscar with his films. One of the reasons why he created Fantasia was that he wanted to create such a brilliant masterpiece of animation that incorporated classical music, that incorporated all these different visual elements and really make it an artistic piece. That's one of the reasons why he created Fantasia.
Wow, as a way to showcase the beauty of animation, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he saw it as a real art form. So, I mean, there's so much more that I don't know about him, but I think that you should explore it. There's a great PBS documentary about his life called, I think it's called American Life. And they featured different, you know, American icons. And they did a 2-part special on, I think it's like a total of 4 hours of television about his life and his upbringing and, you know, how he got to be where he was.
And do I remember reading something about that he, did he actually do characters before Mickey Mouse? Were there other creations before that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, he did a number of animations. He actually used to do, he would draw characters for advertisements. He would come up with different advertising ideas. and then he wanted to create his own brand after that.
Well, so that kind of helped him get the roots of having the momentum of moving in that kind of direction of seeing what was possible, huh?
Yeah, and the initial incarnation of Mickey Mouse was a character called Oswald.
Oh, wow. Is it that steamboat guy that we see? That they talk about Steamboat something?
Well, I think Steamboat Willie was actually the first film that Mickey Mouse appeared in.
Oh, gotcha.
But Oswald was a character that existed before that.
Oh, Oswald existed before that. Wow, why do you suppose that Oswald never really made his way into the Disney universe?
You know, I think it was like anything. You know, he had an idea that evolved over time, and then it kind of came to fruition in Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, so that... so. Oswald was the sort of the seeds that that brought Mickey to life.
Yeah.
Are any of these video movies that other movies he worked on, any of those out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can find tons of stuff out there.
What are some of the names of them that you know about?
I don't know them all. I wish I knew more on that in that regard.
Was Walt Disney also a musician? Do you know?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
What's that thing about him living above the... fire station or something? Something about fire station.
Yeah, he oversaw the construction of Disneyland. And the first building that was completed was the Disneyland Fire Company building, which is right on Main Street when you walk into Disneyland. It's the first building on the left-hand side. Technically, it's the second building.
What's the first building?
I think it's called the Town Hall.
Hmm.
It's where, you know, you go for, like, customer information and that kind of stuff.
Oh, gotcha.
But the fire hall was the first building that was completed, and it contained a little apartment on the second floor where he and both of his daughters lived for the entire building of Disneyland.
Dude, how fun that must have been.
Another interesting tidbit is that he originally wanted to build Disneyland in Burbank, California, but he could not get the city to kind of give him all the things that he wanted in order to build a theme park there. And so he said, okay, well, because Walt Disney Studios is in Burbank. And he wanted them to be adjacent. So when they kind of wouldn't give him what he was hoping, he set out to find another space, and he went further south. And at the time, you know, highways were kind of all the rage in California. And so he thought, well, you know, it's a short 45-minute drive. And he got all this land for incredibly cheap because he bought up all these old citrus orchards. Anaheim used to be known for its citrus trees. And so he bought up all this farmland, this citrus farmland, and started creating Disneyland. And the city of Anaheim basically wanted the economy. They wanted the money. And so they said, yeah, basically we'll give you whatever you want because you're going to be bringing this huge attraction to our city. That's how Disneyland came to be built in Anaheim.
We built this city on Disneyland. Oh! Because it sounds to me like Disneyland was the big blast and everything started growing around it, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Wow, so people wanted to move there because they probably want to live closer to the Disneyland then.
Possibly.
And go, oh, man, now I can be closer to it.
Also, back in those times, you know, it was kind of the beginning of urbanization and urban sprawl. And people wanted to live outside of, you know, Los Angeles, the city center. And so, you know, developers were pushing further and further out from, you know, central LA. And that's how Orange County kind of came to be. You know, it was kind of billed as this beautiful Los Angeles adjacent community, you know, and you could commute to work and then go home and live in the suburbs. And that's kind of one of the ways in which, you know, Orange County was built.
Now, how many movies did Walt Disney do before Disneyland was...
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, quite a few. I know that Snow White, I think he did Peter Pan. I believe he did Cinderella, because a lot of the initial attractions were based on those movies and those movies' successes.
Mm.
So Disneyland came about, I want to say, in the 60s. I want to say somewhere in the 1960s. I don't remember the exact date, but yeah, somewhere in the 60s is when Disneyland was built, and so he had already had big time success. He kind of took his success in the movie industry and the brand that he had created, and he parlayed that into a theme park.
Oh, that is great, because he had so many visual representations of what he was going for.
Loved those, you know, and children so loved those films that it really, you know, it gave him kind of the momentum to, you know, build that theme park and have immediate acclaim. The day that Disneyland opened, there were like 4-hour waits to get on the rides, and every celebrity in Hollywood showed up, and most of the rides actually broke down.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a huge marketing success, but it was also a huge failure in the sense that nothing was working properly.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Those are great stories, you know, that those people were sharing, you know? You know, what's cool is, like, this is, like, a really true example of manifestation of reality in most exciting
way. And that's
why
I knew you would love going down the Disney rabbit hole.
Like,
because he was a master at having a vision and being so committed to it until it actually became reality.
Like, how cool is that? That he actually created his own land with his characters so you could actually live within the world of these characters.
Yep.
You could interact with them. I mean, that's brilliant. It's like they're going bloop, they're popping out from beyond the screen. When I went to Disneyland with my mom and my sister to the California Adventure, it was interesting. I kept saying to him, like, this is so crazy. It feels like we're actually in a Disney movie right now. Because someone over there is on a podium, all of a sudden they just break out in song, and all of a sudden these people that I didn't see before are suddenly coming out with, you know, instruments. Oh, and yeah. Like, boom, boom, boom. You're going, holy cow, this is crazy. There are barbershop quartets out there. There was this awesome vaudeville act that was on the back of a car, and then later on they were just roaming through the streets. I mean, it was just so crazy because, like, you're actually in the middle of this. It really is truly its own city, so to speak.
Yeah.
God, it's so amazing. And he must have been so excited about that idea of, like, living up there and seeing his thoughts and his dreams, his imagination actually come to fruition right there in his four-dimensional reality. And for others to be able to experience that. It's like taking out his mind and going, boop, there it is. And now everybody else gets to kind of go around in it.
Cool.
Now, what do you think about the stories about Walt Disney being on ice?
Oh, I'm for sure. I'm convinced that his head is frozen.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that is brilliant.
I think that's absolutely the case.
Oh, my God. I love it. Oh, I love it.
You know, as is so often the case with people who are, like, that much of a visionary, they're also incredibly eccentric and, you know, bizarre. And with somebody who has that much money, I mean, if you were Walt Disney and you had endless supplies of money, wouldn't you freeze your head when you died?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, like, especially looking at the empire that I have grown from my imagination into my current reality experience, what would stop me from believing in the idea that in the possible future, someone will be able to actually figure out how to bring me back to life by the use of my brain being frozen?
Right.
And so that is completely visionary in itself. And the fact that even that technology even existed back then, the cryogenics and whatnot, oh my God, that's so kick-ass. Mm-hmm. You know, they have so much faith and trust in a company like that, the fact that there's not going to be an earthquake, there's not going to be a, you know, it's not going to crumble into the center of the earth, and you're still going to be there, your body. Mm-hmm. I mean, just imagine that, being woken up, like these people who are in a coma for like 20 years, and they wake up, and it's like no time has passed, and all of a sudden there's everything that's around them that has changed. Just imagine that for Walt Disney, for someone like that to be able to be woken up in the future with that technology and go, wow, now my imaginations truly have no bounds because of the technology now. Holy cow. Oh my God, who knows what kind of cool things he would create.
Yeah.
Now if only Salvador Dali would have frozen his brain. Hopefully maybe someone did. Because now we can join those two minds together. Which, by the way, did you see that little, they made it into a short film. It was something that Walt Disney and Salvador Dali were working on in animation.
Mm.
Can't remember the name of it, but it's cool because they took it from his paintings and everything. Mm-hmm. And you can see it on YouTube.
I didn't see it. That's cool.
Yeah, I love the fact that those guys work together, just these visionaries of imagination, of surreality.
Yeah,
who knows what could have happened. I mean, gosh, you know, I would love to imagine that there was like this parallel universe where maybe Walt Disney would have given a corner of the park to Salvador Dali to kind of, can you imagine what kind of crazy theme park rides that it would have been there?
Yeah, I think he took some cues from that when he did Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because that was just very surreal and very philosophical. I had a philosophy teacher and when I went to Columbia College DuPage, and he was talking about how Alice in Wonderland asks all of the basic philosophical questions. Who am I? What am I here? Where are we? You know, what am I? Where are we? Who am I?
Who are you?
Yes, yes.
Who are you?
Oh, man. I just love that these books are public domain. Like, when you look at the Brothers Grimm, because Cinderella came from Brothers Grimm stories, right?
Well, that's one of the reasons why he chose those, is because he wouldn't have to pay royalties. He wouldn't have to pay for the copyright to use them. So, that's one of the reasons why he did. He took those fairy tales.
Incredible.
He also took out a lot of the more gruesome elements of those fairy tales.
Yes, like in Cinderella, from what I remember reading, is that the sisters actually were hacking off pieces of their feet to better fit into the slipper, and they're bleeding all over the place. And then there's a
you
point
mean the glass slipper,
Ruby the glass slipper,
the Wizard of Oz.
And then at the end, these pigeons come down and peck out their eyes of the stepsisters.
Well, they had it coming.
Yeah, they had it coming. Sorry, ladies. So yeah, all those grim stories are very, you know,
grim.
Very grim. Very grim.
Yeah. I don't think Waze sent us a very efficient way. We got on. I should probably rest my voice a little bit.
Oh yeah, rest it.
But yeah, you should check out that documentary for sure.
I shall. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Inspirato Projecto.
For the ocean out.
We now take you to a Yachtly Crew sound check.
That's the question.
Hold on, we don't have it connected.
It's not connected. We don't have an XLR connected.
I'm not feeling a connection.
Do we have an XLR up here? There's a big one, short one. Here, hang up. But all the channels are taken. No, you have your own channel.
Long Island iced tea. Moscow Mule. Captain and Coke. Adios, amigo. Babs Blue Ribbon. Whiskey. Tequila. Vodka. Gin and rye.
Why is everyone louder than me?
Oh yeah, it's all about the show. It's all about having the fun and the playfulness. And
there's a really great documentary on HBO about Elvis called The Searcher.
The Searcher?
Yeah, it's two parts. So the whole thing in total is about 3 or 4 hours long, but it's just about Elvis's life and music, and none of the extra, you know, stuff that people get way too hung up on, because the movies didn't really mean that much, especially to him. He hated doing the movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn, it smells like ass right here.
Yeah, that would be because...
They like to put manure out here,
yeah.
I guess. So why didn't he like doing the movies?
Because he didn't really get any creative control of anything. He was told, you know, you're gonna sing these songs. He was told, at first it was, you're gonna be an actor. Then it was, oh, but you have to do a couple of songs in each of the films.
And he didn't like that?
No. He was trying to make it as an actor, you know, trying to go from records to TV to movies, but never really was able to...
Oh, so, okay, so it wasn't that he didn't like the acting aspect, he didn't like the fact that he was kind of told what to do and what not to do, is that what you're saying?
Sure, okay. Pretty much 2 years, so... Cool. Yeah. Okay. If you don't drink, just give it like a once, but I'm sure
he will. He was in a cowboy movie, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Where he's got a beard.
Not that I know.
The only time I've ever seen him with a beard.
Don't think I've ever seen him with a beard.
I forgot what cowboy movie that is, but he's in it. Ladies and gentlemen, Grace Band will be there tonight at the gas lamp.
Sell it out. From outside.
Oh, it's a sellout. We're sellouts.
Sold
it's
out!
It's a total sellout.
If we're playing, it's a sellout.
So what's your favorite Elvis song, Mr. David Bowie? Do you have one?
I used to really like, good ones.
I used to like Teddy Bear. Like,
thank you.
Teddy Bear.
I used to love that song as a kid.
Yeah.
I had the 45. Mine was on Suspicious Minds.
That's a great
Suspicious
one.
Suspicious
Minds. Did he write that song?
No, he didn't.
He didn't write any.
He hardly wrote any of it.
I don't think he wrote one of his songs.
Wow.
I mean, it was mostly Lieber and Stoller.
Actually, there's a beautiful ballad. But
oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, I've met Mike Stoller before because he belongs to the temple that owns the Savant, so every once in a while you'd run into him. And it was just like, I met his wife, Corky, and she's just one of the craziest, Corky Hale, she's just one of the craziest people I've ever met.
Name matches, right?
Yeah, but I mean, she plays
whose wife?
Mike Stoller of Lieber and Stoller.
And he was one of the writers?
The songwriters for, like, Hound Dog and, you know, any number of...
And there's a lot of heavy hitters.
Were they like, a team who wrote for a whole bunch of other people, too, or only Elvis?
They were a songwriting team. I'm sure they sold songs to a lot of other people. Carl Perkins, I think, they sold it to as well. But, you know, mostly well-known for Elvis.
Were they also musicians?
Yeah, they were some of the few white guys who liked blues at the time. They thought they were the only ones who liked, you know, the only white guys who liked blues music.
So did they ever record any of these songs that they wrote themselves?
Probably, but mostly is shopping around as demo tapes, I would think.
It'd be interesting to hear their take on the songs that ended up evolving into the songs for these big, you know, for like Elvis and whatnot. Yeah. I was always curious about that kind of stuff. Like Prince, you know, you always hear about how Prince wrote for all these different...
Yes. Yeah. Can I get a Cadillac Margarita?
I'm sorry, I wish you don't have a full bar, just your noise.
Okay. Let me get...
They have margaritas, right? Right? No, is that what you're saying? No.
We do have margaritas, but they're made out of the wine base. Yeah.
Oh, they're not... Okay, so they're not really tequila. Not what we were thinking. Oh, gotcha.
Let me get a Sprite.
Jeez. Could I... I don't even know. A beer. How about a beer? Oh, Corona sounds good, please. Thank you. So anyway, you always hear about how, like, Prince wrote these songs for all these people. It would be interesting to hear his version of those songs that he wrote for those people.
Yeah.
What, Dolly Parton? Did he write Dolly Parton's? Oh, no. I'm getting Dolly Parton mixed up with Whitney Houston. Oh, that's what it was. Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You. Right? He did Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You. Nothing compares to you. Now, you talked with these guys, the writers of Elvis songs?
One of them.
And what was the circumstance behind that? How'd you end up working with him?
His wife introduced me to him after I helped out with moving her. She plays a full size harp, and you know, moving those things around is kind of a, you know, delicate thing. So moving it in and out of the salon was interesting.
I love doing my friends when they see me like that. He's gonna be like,
yeah.
What the fuck are you guys doing out here?
I'm curious to see the Elvis band though.
think they're gonna be good.
So did you have questions for that guy? Like, did you ask? Did you talk to him about Elvis?
No.
I bet you there's a lot of stories that he's never told and he's never been asked.
Probably.
Are they still writers?
I think Lieber might be dead. So I don't think he's been writing for years. You never know.
Wow. Just imagine how many things are out there in the world where, you know, the unseen, like the teams that are unseen that, like, the world doesn't really necessarily know about.
You had it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's always, you know, demo versions of things that don't get released until much later. So. Like, I have a George Harrison album that was, you know, it's called Early Takes, and it's just stuff that, you know, from his first couple of solo albums, but it was all demos and stuff.
I love it. I love hearing that stuff, the raw version of it, you know? The screw-ups, the gibberish, the snaps and the crackles. And...
Well, yeah, like, I have the multi-track for Queen, for Killer Queen. You know, the actual one, you can hear Freddie counting everything off, but you can actually hear what's coming out of his headphones being picked up in his microphone the entire time. You just don't hear it in the song because everything else is going on. But,
oh, my God.
But you can actually hear it on his vocal track. It's really funny.
Wow.
Too much.
I love that.
And so then the time came, I did. And then he called and said, last week, saying, well, it's 250 pre-sale. And I'm like, wait a minute. And the rap's like, you were supposed to give us a free guest list. Do you want this on tape?
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back more later.
You gotta watch yourself right now. Yeah, I know.
Wowzers. You guys, I am so excited. I'm so excited. There is now an official Inspirato Projecto hotline number. You can actually call the phone number. Yes, I get a lot of people sending email to inspiratoprojecto@gmail.com. You can still do that, inspiratoprojecto@gmail.com. Now, as an extra added bonus, in ways for you to participate with this show, you can call up, check it out. Here's the phone number, 561, write this down, 561-203-9179. We are broadcasting live from Jupiter. Give us a call. Give us a call here in Jupiter. And we will add your audio onto the show. How fun is that? What a great way to participate. Now, of course, if you're on anchor.fm, if you have that app, look for Inspirato Projecto on there, and you can also leave messages through there. I think those are like a limit of maybe a minute. The hotline, I don't know if there's a limit. I think you can add more than a minute. So, go ahead. Send me your riffs. Send me your complete songs. Send me your epiphanies. Your alien abduction stories. Synchronicities. Dreams. Strange stories. Exciting stories. Theories. Gosh, there's so many paranormal sightings, whatever it may be, whatever that particular thing is that maybe no one else really, maybe you don't have anyone else in your life that you get a chance to really geek out on this type of stuff with, that you get to really dive deep into and talk about. Well, that's what Inspirato Projecto is for. This is what that is for. And you know what? The cool thing is, you can always be an alias. You never have to give your real name if you're worried about people going, wait a second, you know, Johnny, what's his name, was abducted by a UFO the other night? Wait, what's this? And you don't want to, you know, you're worried that someone's going to be freaked out about that or ridicule you or something. Well, call up the hotline. Let's get this rocking and rolling. Call up the hotline and I will put your audio. I will strategically place it into podcast episodes. All right? All right. Take care.
No, that FM station was in North Hollywood.
Gino.
Because it was the Central in the early, remember the 80s.
By the way,
it was FM before the Central because the FM station went to North Hollywood.
That's right, they got that photo. Because
we've all played with all those shitholes back in the day. Yeah. I wonder if it's still that tiny little L shaped station.
Oh, yeah, dude, thank you.
Yeah, so it's that same one. Right.
We played there the first time we went on, like, because the headline bands there, it's Hollywood. It's the Sunset Strip.
Fucking
the headline
band
goes on, like, after 11.
Yeah, I know.
We got so much fucking hate. People were like, you guys need to go on earlier.
Yeah. Dude, we always want to, like, the latest we start is when we play at the Belly Up. We open up for like Super Diamond a lot there and stuff at like 9. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's it. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Then we got to drive back.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh, it was, oh my God, those are great photos.
Dude.
He said that it was like,
those are good.
He went on tour with,
It was great when we saw the Stray Cats down in Orange County. They started, I want to say, they went on at 8.
When we got there.
The Pacific, yeah. Terry Pop and Daddy's played from 7 to 8. The Stray Cats went on at 8 or done at 9:30.
Wow.
Fucking amazing. And the same thing with the Central Orchestra. We saw them last year at the Bowl. They started at like 7. The Christmas show? Yeah, we saw them at the Bowl. They're so fucking
right
good.
Next door.
Yeah, they're so, those guys are
so good. All I had was a black. All I had,
I mean, if you're Brian Setzer, after you can pick anybody you want to play in those horns.
Just his together, music on it. Three or four of his gin drinks.
The first show they played at the Roxy, there was only like 40 people there to see him. And most of the people were people that he invited, personal friends of his. That was it. Like, nobody showed up. Like, this is the worst idea ever. Like, what are you doing? He's like, no, it's going to work. Just hold on.
Three or four shots, pickleback shots.
Yeah.
And then
dude,
I've met guys
that
they did a peach whiskey shot.
Guys, they
put them
in a
so he was up to four or five
shots. One of our horn player, the little guy, the Asian guy we had, his teacher has played with Setzer for like off and on for like 15 years. Yeah, they're those dudes are serious. Only two guys have been there for, they're like fucking heavy session guys. There's like a week.
I don't know. Your epiphany kind of freaks me out. Black Mirror. Do you know the show? Your epiphany about living in a world of puppets reminds me of a Pinocchio story that could go awry. Very interesting.
So, Kim Cascone, you all have been hearing his Drone Cinema Film Festival promo on Inspirato Projecto. He had the festival over the weekend. Here's a little word about what happened here. So, thank you all for supporting it, for showing up and being a part of it. This is what he had to say. Turned out better than we hoped. A small turnout, venue tech was good, sound levels were set to stun. Brian showed up and made my day. Thank you so much for making the 3-hour journey to Highways. We had a cannabis ritual before the evening, which was nice. Randy's set was very lethargic, and the films looked very, very nice on their new huge screen. Sold a couple of items from the merch table, so all and all a good evening. Brian, who he's referring to, is Brian DeVille. Brian DeVille, you guys can listen to our interview with Kim Cascone. He's a collaborator of David Lynch's. We've got an episode on Mixcloud. If you go to mixcloud.com/inspiratoprojecto, you can scroll down, you can see it. It's our interview in the K-Chung 1630 AM studios. And boy, is it a goodie.
And we're walking. Walking. We're talking.
Welcome to another edition of Walking.
We're walking. But then we're talking.
What? Not
the
crosswalk, they call it something else.
I do not know. Do they call it the...
like they call the trunk the boot.
The foot street? They call it the foot street?
The footpath.
The footpath.
Foot that's what we're on right now, the footpath.
We are on a footpath.
Whoa, I couldn't walk straight for a second. You ever had that feeling?
Yeah.
You can't walk straight?
Oh, yeah.
Dizzy?
Yeah.
Vertigo?
Yeah. All of the above.
Abbas did the best of us.
And the worst of us.
And the worst of us. Abbas did the best of us. And the worst of us. Abbas did the best of us. Boom, boom, boom. And the worst of us. Abbas did the best of us.
Hey, are these the worst of us. Kind? Or are these the kind you get?
Oh, that's exactly what I get.
Oh, it is?
One of the pints, sir. Yes. Oh, is it closed? It's not closed. Oh, no, it's open. It's open. Wait, that's the nails. It looks closed.
It does look closed.
It's very dark.
It is, yeah.
It's closed. Damn it!
Here, you hold on to these.
It looks very dark and yet also neon.
Well, you just saved my ass.
Because I don't know where else I was going to go.
What a perfect team up, dude. What a perfect team up. Right?
The dynamic
look
duo.
How the universe did that.
Batman and Robin.
Dude,
yeah,
I love it.
Smoke by myself, I'll be like, hey, Robin, what are you doing, man?
I'm keeping
dude,
it going.
I love it.
I'm
love
keeping it. It going.
Dude, it's yeah. Great. I love it. Because we've been calling both Eric and Chris Batman. So, yeah. And then I
and
start
I
thinking of
the whole thing up.
Like, then I'm like, shit. And then I start thinking of like Thing 1 and Thing 2. So then I'm thinking like, well, Batman 1 and Batman 2. Or like, then I'm thinking of like, what was the other one? Oh, Lucille 1 and Lucille 2 for, like, Arrested Development. So I was just thinking, like, you know, Batman 1 and Batman 2. But, like, which one would claim that title? But I just realized that, like, tonight is the Venn diagram of... Because usually it's, like, Eric and Jordan or you and Chris. Mm. So now it's the first time.
Yeah.
Those guys are joining forces. Oh, man, it's so
cool. It's
going
to all come together.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God, dude.
Both worlds collide.
I feel so comforted when I see you and Chris, and I see Christian out there, and it's just like, man, it's just
I turn
great.
Around,
Jordan
and like
too.
The whole drum set was already set up and like wired, ready to go.
Oh, shit. I just realized I'm acting like a hooligan who's standing in the middle of the footpath. Does that sound like... Oh, yeah, absolutely, which is very... You know, I guess they have coagulations like this in Italy. Like, as you drive through the streets, there'll just be a coagulation of people, like, at the intersection.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So they're having some deep, you know, they got some deep insight. When did you first get started in doing the sound?
Doing sound?
Yeah.
Bombay, I started booking bands there, and we didn't have a sound engineer, and so I just took it upon myself to do it. You gotta have a sound engineer if you're having live music.
So you became the sound engineer?
Basically. I don't know.
And
I don't know how far... I don't know how far I should go with crediting myself.
Well, did you go to school for it or no?
No.
So you could just kind of learn from just kind of doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the best way.
Yeah, that is the, yeah.
Figure it out as you go.
Wow. It's fun, because then, you know, it's like Lewis and Clark. Every every discovery begins with that initial step, that first step in taking the journey. You know, yes. The idea of going out there and you do not discover unless you explore. So it's like you got to start, and that's what's so cool is like you're just like, okay, let's just see how to do this stuff. And I'm sure a lot of crazy stuff came your way where maybe you didn't have the right chords at some times or, you know.
All scenarios you can think of.
Wow. Now, in those times, I'm sure you're probably flipped out, right? And yet, here's your future self going, hey, you know what? That's pretty cool because I learned something cool out of it, right?
No, I don't think I ever got flipped out.
Oh,
I
you
just problem solved. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. So you didn't view it as something that was, like, gonna be a burden on you or weight you down. You were just like, oh, you know what? I can totally get That's cool.
Yeah, there's moments where, you know, you can definitely shut down having, like, a bad gig. Get just stressed to the point of like shutting down, but
yeah,
really kind of gotta try and curb yourself away from that.
Yeah,
because you're never gonna fix anything when you shut down like that.
Yeah, that's
you can't
so true.
Think anymore, you just
that's
can't
so
think.
True.
It's like you're literally drowning. You know.
Yeah.
When you hit that point in your brain, everything shuts off. You go into panic mode. Someone else has to save me right now because my brain is only panicking.
Oh yeah.
Red light.
Yeah, like the gears are locking up, right? The gears are, you know, yeah. And it's just
exactly.
The steam is going.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I know what you mean. That's how I feel around mathematics, and like overly complicated things. That's kind of what happens to my brain. How do you sort of aketo your way out of those situations? What do you do? What things do you tell yourself?
The last time that happened to me actually is when Yachtly Crew played the beach party.
Oh boy.
I was there
surf
for
rodeo?
Hours. No, not the surf rodeo.
Lobster
no.
Rock?
No, Bombay.
Oh, Bombay.
Yeah, it was their beach party.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Night. I just mixed like a handful of bands and we only had like an hour or something like that set you guys up. And everything was just like off, you know what I mean? And I had to like fix all this stuff on the fly. And my friend, like, I kind of started like, it was difficult because the whole room was full of people, so I couldn't fucking hear.
Oh
my
god!
You know what I mean? It was very fucking difficult. The chatter of people talking was making it difficult, just like in sound check. You know what I mean?
Oh my god!
So then my friend Waldo like starts, because I kind of like started panicking, and he starts like getting in my way and like grabbing stuff, and I'm sitting here trying to listen, and, like. I realize what's going on, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? And he's like, Waldo, get out of here, dude. Screw me up. And that's when I came back.
Oh my god.
It took
crazy.
Me a couple songs and I got you guys dialed like eventually, but yeah, that was a rough one.
Dude, that's incredible.
That was RW was doing that show.
Well, I gotta tell you guys, the Stretch Limo just pulled up here. Which how often do you tend to see that kind of stuff happen?
Yeah.
I'm kinda curious what the circumstance is all about and who's gonna pop out of there. I'm so curious, like
cocktails.
Like, what a cool thing, man! Stretch limos, like that is such a rarity. Can you even order a stretch limo on Uber?
It's a captain's car,
dude. That is a captain's car. Oh my god! Is a whole bunch of people gonna pour out of there? That would be awesome.
Whole bunch of captains.
Wouldn't that be awesome, dude? It's like, yeah. Blah. They open up the door, all these captains' hats are spilling out.
We have a Hawaiian shirt.
There's got to be more people hiding in there. Dude, that's crazy. That's awesome. It's amazing. How often do you see Stretch Limo? So,
the Yachtly Crew show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, at that...
At that beach party,
were you doing this stuff, like, as things were happening? Like,
yeah, exactly.
While we were playing and you're...
Right.
You're,
exactly, yeah.
Dude. It must have felt like such a huge victory afterwards,
yeah.
You know, like just to go like, whoa, I got through without like.
Eventually when I got to a point, like it was great, but it was pretty rough getting there.
I imagine like the Han Solo of Millennium Falcon, right? Because the Millennium Falcon's like breaking down. You're trying to fly through the asteroid field.
Having to remember like where everything goes on that small ass little stage, like cables just going
everywhere. Oh my God, dude. Oh my God, dude.
It's tough, dude, on that little stage sometimes. No. Pull it off.
We played there so many times. That was so much fun.
Oh yeah, Bombay, man.
That was the place where I first fell off the bar.
Oh my god.
Watch that.
That's right. That's right.
It
that video.
Me the fuck out. Dude.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. You just say, Jip, where did he go? Where'd Bali go? Where'd he go? And you're looking around. You're looking around. And all of a sudden you see him rise with his fist
thank
in the air.
God.
Like, I'm still alive.
Somebody
I'm healed.
Somebody caught me.
And right then he goes,
I fell on somebody. They caught me. Otherwise it would have been
yeah.
ugly. Yeah.
Yeah,
you. That's like one of those America's Funniest Home Video clips that you would see in
right down on the
show.
Concrete like that.
Yeah. So someone you landed and they
stumbled
like,
on. Yeah, they caught me.
Oh my God!
I was able
dude.
To get up and keep playing.
I was so worried about you the whole time too, and I was like, "Oh no, it happened."
What a daredevil!
Yeah,
such
a daredevil for sure.
I learned my limits quickly.
I love it to get wire work involved in such a way where we have a venue with a huge enough ceiling where you could jump from one tabletop to the other tabletop. Wouldn't that be awesome? He's like, for a freeing, and he's like flying through the sky, like, boom, and he lands on the table, dude. That would be so kick ass, dude. That'd be so cool, dude.
It would be like. Warnings on the tables that I jump on. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, when you go to see, like, a Gallagher show, like, you're going to get...
Yeah,
get splashed,
watermelon's going to get you.
Watermelons,
yeah.
Like, you got to have a warning. You're going to... This is a wet zone.
Oh, my God, dude. Because then you can jump from that table back to the stage. Yeah. You know, and he's just like... And the audience watching you fly in slow motion as you're playing, and then you land back, and oh, my God, dude. I could totally see it happening.
So many
I could totally see it happening. Oh, my God. This is so fun, man. Look at this. These people showing up in these limousines and stuff. Fully dressed up. Someone's in a captain's coat over there. Someone's in a captain's coat over there.
Oh,
look at, ow, yeah.
Nice.
Look at this. Look at this. Wow. Look at that. Look at that.
Man, I got a show. You guys are flying
in this guy, dude. Look at you guys. Dude, I'm like, we got these people just showing up in a limo. I'm like, one of those guys in there is dressed up. One of those guys in there is dressed up in a coat. Oh, my God. This is so kick-ass.
Dude, so you're on my podcast right now.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Grayson Brooke, he was just in his studio, for those of you who heard the K-Chung radio episode.
Snap, crackle, and pop going on?
There, yeah, there's a lot of snap, crackle, and pop happening.
Yeah.
Dude, this is so great to see you two dressed up like this. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Am I famous yet?
Coming to you live via satellite from Jupiter.
Oh,
Jupiter,
you interrupted your podcast.
No. Oh. No, you just upped the ante, actually.
The ante has just been raised. Now it's only gold nuggets available.
An Inspirato Projecto.
Inspirato Projecto, Ecto. So I have 10% on the battery now.
Oh,
so
that's cool. Look at that.
What kind of interesting things would you like to promote right now if there's one thing in the world?
Disneyland.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What do you got? Ow! We had a question about.
Oh, sorry. Yachtly Crew.
We have.
I love. That's such a good answer.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You should say.
That's good.
At Disneyland. Oh yeah, I'm working on it.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
I'm working on it.
I envision already. I reserve this a Yachtly Crew. Ride, actually, is what I'm imagining.
On a ship?
Oh, yeah.
Pirates?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
This is the right person.
Yes.
Hey, we can take over Tom Sawyer's.
What's your name?
Island.
Did I meet you before?
Yeah. Maybe
oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is so great. This is so great.
You.
You're wearing a universe, and you're wearing all that. That's
I'm
so great.
Festive.
You got all the stars and the constellations.
Yeah,
hey, man. What's your name?
Ken.
Ken.
He was at the party, too.
Dude, that's so great. That's so great, you guys. Oh, my God. Dude, it's so cool because you know, just they surround themselves with just good vibes, and I think that's what seems to be.
There was
at,
a lot of
shows.
Good vibes in that house.
Yeah.
That was a good night.
Oh,
that
my
was,
God,
that
was
so funny.
It was the smallest crowd you ever played. No, the best crowd,
the
right?
Liveliest.
Oh my God, it was so lively. Like it was so great. Like being up there and seeing him walk in and his face, like wait, what? Because he was taking around in that spiral. You know, he went down there and he's like, hey, what? And then, you know, I was imagining in his brain like what he's looking at. He's going down there like, wow, look at these balloons. And then wait, what's over here? And they're like, well, you know, like, oh my God, that was so cool. It was so great to have V and Chris there too.
I'm watching all the videos every night when I go home. I put it on play. I don't watch it obviously while I'm driving, but I listen to it. I listen to it every day since then for a month. I've been listening to all of you guys playing for us.
Oh my God, that is so great. And you have videos of this stuff?
Yes.
All
I'm going
to
send it to you.
You know what would be so fun is to see a full video of all the different camera angles, you know, like edited together of that night.
Because
if you've got all those
different. I need somebody to edit it though.
Oh my God, that would be so crazy to see all the different angles.
Well, you know know, you know, editors, so we just like.
Wouldn't it be awesome to see like a short film of sorts of
every day? Yes. She watches the footage. Every
oh my
day.
God, that's awesome!
Every day she watches.
Well, you were like a master, like a Batman villain, right? Where it was very mastermind planned. There were so many little elements to it.
I'm a very good liar.
So you must have felt so surprised, it's like the Riddler leaving all the little clues. It's just so great. What? It's a great
thing. Find out that my wife is the best liar.
Oh my God! It's not the best thing to find out.
I still have some video footage I've not given you yet.
I know.
So
I'm waiting for yours.
There's some hidden tapes out there.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
You guys, when you were about to, everybody filmed him when he walked in. He filmed you guys when.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
We can pretend that that's like the Japanese import videos, right? Remember, like growing up, they'd be like, "Oh, it's a Japanese import of Pearl Jam." You're like, an extra song I've never heard of before. How's that possible? And why is it only available in Japan? And why is it so expensive? You know. But it's like that could be like the Japanese import, you know, thing. It's like this video has never been seen before.
Well, what's funny is when everyone yelled surprised, you guys seem surprised.
I was like, wait, that's awesome.
You guys didn't know?
Oh my God, you got one of those screens, like up on a screen where it splits it, where you see his interaction and our interaction at the same time. That'd be pretty cool.
Like some 24 kind of stuff where you have all this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. So we go in. We're gonna go in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We got dinner.
Okay, so I was thinking, and I might have said this before, what if every piece of news that we hear about, everything, every talk, every meeting, every sort of press conference thing, they say it's going live, but what if it's not? What if it's something that was already shot, something that already happened, and now it's being doled out to us? Maybe it happened 10 years ago. I mean, if the military can be 30 years ahead of us, technology-wise, probably 300 years ahead of us, the rest of everybody else, technology-wise, who's to say that those controlling the media are not already far ahead of what's going on as well?